Following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
We want to continue this morning the series on looking at the invitations of Jesus. Renee did a great job last week talking about the invitation of Jesus that he gave for us to follow him. She pointed out to us it's not about a one-time decision, it is a lifestyle. And I want to talk this morning about another invitation of Jesus. It is an invitation that when he gave it, it wasn't yet relevant. It was an invitation that would become relevant later. Turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of John in chapter 7. Father, we just thank you for the privilege this morning of ministering your word. We ask you for the flow of your spirit. We declare, Holy Spirit, that you are the teacher, you are the counselor, you are the encourager, you are the helper. I ask you to be a translator this morning, Father, and translate this message into each heart and let it land where it needs to. You know every person in this room. May it land where it needs to for your glory and for your purposes. Translate it, Lord. As we carry water, we ask you to turn it to wine. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, I love this portion of Scripture because it's where we as a church get our name. And John chapter 7, beginning at verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus gives this invitation, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. We have said many times from this pulpit that the Bible is constantly using natural word pictures, natural images to capture invisible spiritual realities. We see it, Jesus was a master at it. His parables, his stories, it was all... The Bible tells us to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And many times we get so caught up in what... You do realize Jesus wasn't passing out water bottles, right? This was a spiritual word that he was bringing, but he was using a natural word picture, if we could say it that way. Why? Because the things of the Spirit are a mystery to man. The things of the Spirit, in reality, your natural mind wars against. And even here today, there can be times when our natural mind wars against that which is of the Spirit because it's not intellectually sound. What did he just say? I said the things of the Spirit are not always intellectually sound, in the sense of making sense to our limited natural way of thinking and our natural way of doing things. So Jesus gives this invitation. Thankfully, John gives us the interpretation of what the word picture meant. So it makes it really easy. He said Jesus was referring to the day and the time had not been yet come, because Jesus is still walking out his life, and he's going to walk out his crucifixion, and he's going to walk out his death, and he's going to walk out his burial, and he's going to walk out his resurrection, and then he's going to walk out his ascension, and then... If anyone thirsts, let him come to him and drink. And out of their innermost being, out of their belly, out of their heart, various translations say it different ways, there will flow a river of living water. So it is in this context that we want to look at this invitation of Jesus. And we're going to spend very little time on it because I want us to be able to have opportunity to drink. In a little bit, as I said earlier, the worship team will be coming back up. But we need to understand, we just finished a series of, I think, a couple months long on the secret place. And we talked about there are many things that can take place in the spirit, in the secret place that refresh us. There's Bible reading, there's meditation, there's songs, there's, of course, the Word of God. There's just many things. But when it comes to our context of this message this morning, it is limited to an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I have something to tell you. You need help. Brian,
yes,
you need help. Gladys, you need help. But there's a helper. And this is what John is writing about, that Jesus declared, there is a helper. And there is a teacher. And there is one who comes alongside. There is a comforter. Gladys, you need a comforter. Yes, and I know you've had one. I see it on your face. For those of you who maybe are visiting and don't know, she lost her husband. Well, he's not lost. But you know what I mean. And things like that in this life are never easy. But there's the promise of a helper, of a comforter, of a teacher, of a guide. And we all need to recognize, and the way, I want you to notice that Jesus didn't say, so John establishes, okay, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay, but Jesus didn't say, if anyone thirsts, let him come to the Holy Spirit. He did not say that. He said, let him come to Jesus, let him come to me, Jesus speaking. Why? Because Jesus is the door into everything that God has for you. He said it. He said, I am the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the path. He is the entry point. He is the way we get to where we can experience the fullness of God. But you can't get here any other way than through the door and through the path, through the way of Jesus. And it's good for us to understand because we can get Jesus. We don't always get the Holy Spirit. By that I mean we don't always understand the ways of the Spirit. Remember when Nicodemus had the encounter with Jesus on the rooftop, and he's asking all kinds of questions because by his own admission, no man could do what you do except God is with him. And he's trying to sort it all out. And Jesus gives an explanation about those who are born. You know, you must be born of the Spirit. You must be born of water, and you must be born of the Spirit. And he's giving him all kinds of explanations. And then he says this. He says, you see the wind. You see the effects of it, you see what it does, you feel the wind, but you do not know where it came from and you do not know where it's going. So are they, Jesus speaking, so are they that are born of the Spirit. There's a mystery in this walk with Jesus. There's a mystery in understanding all the nuances of our faith. So there's one requirement, well, more than that, but first step, come to me. Second instruction is, are you thirsty? There's got to be a thirst within us for the things of God. There's got to be a coming to Jesus. All who are thirsty, there's got to be a thirst. We live in a day when there's a lot of thirst quenchers out there. There are so many. And I'm speaking spiritual now. Obviously, in the natural, there's many thirst quenchers out there, right? In the spirit as well, there is so many thirst quenchers out there. But as Jesus said to the living, to the woman at the well, "I'll give you water, the water of life." And there is a thirst quencher that goes beyond all other thirst quenchers because it leaves a deposit within you of the very nature and the very person of God. When I said we need help, by the way, Brian, I know, I understand, I need help too. We all need help, and there is a helper. But he's spiritual in nature, and he connects with us spirit to spirit, not head to head, not body to body, spirit to spirit. In fact, one of his primary jobs, Romans chapter 8, the spirit, capital S, convinces our spirit, small s, we really, really are children of God. I believe it's one of the primary and one of the most challenging tasks the Holy Spirit has is to convince us we really belong to God. And to keep us in that place of reliance on Him and trusting Him. So you come to Jesus and you come with the thirst, but then you've got to, what? Drink. What does spiritual drinking look like? It's taking in rather than giving out. One of the things I always encourage people during times of worship like we had this morning, sometimes I encourage you to just stop singing and just soak. Let the brothers and sisters in the room carry you. Let them carry the worship for a little bit. You just have a drink. Whether it's a good theological title or not, I gave the title of this message this morning. Have you been drinking? Have you been drinking? I believe one of the secrets to the Christian life is to learn how to drink. And by that, I don't mean, and I want to say this carefully, but I don't mean get to know your Bible better. Because that isn't the context in which Jesus is writing. John interprets it for us. He was talking about the Holy Spirit, which was going to be poured out. And what happened on the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out? Rivers of living water flowed out of 120 people that turned the city into one big worship service. They spilled out of the secret place, which is in the upper room, onto the street. And they're praising God all in their own language. And there is a river that is created throughout the city so that they came and saw what on earth is going on. Heaven is going on. That's what was going on earth. And heaven was visiting earth, and it was coming out of people. Do you know that we want God to do so much? How many of you know this planet needs help? But that help comes through you and I. We allow that river to flow out of us. And I want you to notice on the day of Pentecost, it flowed out of their mouth. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of your heart, the mouth speaks. And so some prophesied various places throughout the book of Acts. Some prophesied, some spoke in tongues. Some praised. Some praised in languages they didn't know or understand. But there is an infilling of the presence of God that we can experience, and it is beyond it is beyond that which, you know, what the posture you need to take? I believe that some of us need to give up. I mean, by that, I mean we need to quit fixing it. We need to quit fixing ourselves. Religion loves to get us into the place to where we have to do this ourselves. There is no do-it-yourselfer in the kingdom of God. If you could have done it yourself, you wouldn't have needed a Savior, and you wouldn't need a helper. But we do need a helper. And we get Him, we receive Him by drinking. And again, that's just a natural analogy of a spiritual reality of taking Him in. In just a minute, we're going to open up the altar, and I want to first open it to anyone that may be here this morning that has never been filled with the Holy Spirit, never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, never spoken tongues, never had that encounter with the Holy Spirit that filled you to overwhelming so that stuff gushed out of your mouth. Words, love, adoration. It's like, now I want to say this. You may be here this morning, and that may be you. Just because the invitation is put out there doesn't mean you should come. How's that for? You ever heard a preacher say that? I've learned this. In fact, it's a core value of this church. Where the Holy Spirit is, where He is Lord, where He is honored, where the Holy Spirit is, there is what? Liberty. There was a time I was in a community meeting with a bunch of pastors, and we were about to have communion, and the Holy Spirit broke in on my life and without my permission made me cry. And He broke my heart. And I began to weep tears that weren't mine, they were God's. And I asked, I was part of the leadership team that was putting this event on. And I asked one of the leaders, can I share before we have communion? I got to get something off my chest. And I knew I had to, not had to, I got to. I had such a burden to apologize to my brothers and sisters, fellow pastors and their congregations, to apologize for them for the arrogance of the charismatic wing of the church, who had such an emphasis on Holy Spirit power but had no wisdom and had no carefulness with understanding. We're talking about people's hearts and people's lives. And there's the reality of the gifts of the Spirit. We can flaunt all we want, but there's the reality of the fruit of the Spirit that gives us wisdom. Both the gifts are with a capital S. It's the fruit. It's the gifts of the Spirit, capital S. It's the fruit of the Spirit, capital S. And His fruit can be working through me. I remember when I first started meeting with pastors on a regular basis, and I was praying about, I had the invitation before me, and I was praying about, should I or shouldn't I? And the Lord said, yes, you should, and you behave yourself wisely. And I knew what He meant. I knew instantly. He told me, don't be foolish. So, why do I say that? I say that to those of you who maybe your spiritual experience is not baptism in the Spirit, and it's not Holy Spirit emphasis, but the reality is we all need the helper. Sometimes we wrestle with things in our life and in our character, and we try to do it from the outside in, and you can't. You need a helper who helps from the inside out. So with that said, I just want to open up the altar. If you're here this morning and you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you'd like to be, just come on up. We're gonna broaden the spectrum, but just for right now, if there's anyone here, and I'm sorry I don't have more time to elaborate on all of that, but it's the invitation of Jesus. It's not my invitation. It's the invitation of Jesus. And you're not coming to me, you're coming to Jesus. You're not coming to the Holy Spirit, you're coming to Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.